Hey guys, I'm Jeff. I'm the owner of E2One Fitness. I'm the CEO of that business. Today I have with me my personal doctor, Dr. Carlos Jorge. And so we're going to talk through a little bit of things that kind of tie into my background that I wanted to share with my clients and anybody else who was interested in knowing. My backstory is kind of interesting. Heart disease runs in my family. Several of my uncles and aunts, they had issues with their hearts, whether it be a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. And my father has had two severe strokes, so it left him paralyzed on one side of his body and severely limited what he could do for the rest of his life. And so because of that, I wanted to make sure that I was getting ahead of those potential issues for myself. And so I sought the help of Dr. Jorge to make sure I was getting the proper testing and the proper things done. So Dr. Jorge, can you tell everybody, first of all, who you are and what you do and your background?
Yes. Thanks for having me, first of all, Jeff. Love what you guys are doing, and your mission and it is incredible. So I congratulate you guys for what you are doing. So my background, I'm originally family practice trained, but I have two other board specialties, one in what's called clinical lipidology, which does a lot of preventative medicine, cardiovascular disease prevention, and then also functional and integrative longevity medicine. So we marry that together in our current practice, which is Companion Health, where you and your wife have come, to really try to be very programmatic about how we work on helping people understand where they are in their health journey, and if they've fallen out of optimal health, how do we get them back to that balance? A lot of what we do is very preventive driven, because we really believe in that, you know, what you eat, how you sleep, how you handle stress, how you exercise, et cetera, all those are factors that are going to help drive longevity and optimal health. And so that really has become a passion for us since we opened in 2020, our practice.
I love it. So when I came to you, I kind of gave you my backstory. You came with a ton of reviews. You know, a lot of personal friends and neighbors already used you. You're a private practice.
Yes.
And so so a lot of my friends, you know, decided to seek your services as well. And so when I came to you, I gave you my rundown of my family history and things like that. And you had me start out with a few tests. Can you tell me or tell the audience what tests you had me start out with and why?
Yes. So one of the challenges, just to kind of speak a little bit to the challenges, is that often when we go to our providers or physicians, there are a lot of basic blood tests that are done. And most of us are familiar with what our total cholesterol or our LDL cholesterol may be. But usually most clinics will stop at that level. And so one of the real sort of missions that we've been on is how do we identify cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular risk early? And if we identify these factors early enough, how do we then start reversing it? So one of the first tests that we did with you is a test called the Cleveland Heart Lab. And there are other companies that do these tests. There's a company called Boston Heart Lab. There's other companies and other labs that can be done through LabCorp. And they're all fairly similar in that they're looking not only at your basic cholesterol, but they're looking at the proteins and the pieces of cholesterol that actually are the things that are going to drive the disease to occur. And that disease that we're talking about is atherosclerosis, which is cardiovascular disease. And so we look at things called apolipoprotein B, which is the protein that all bad cholesterols carry. We look at things like lipoprotein A, which is another genetically linked cholesterol abnormality. And then we marry that really well with inflammatory markers like high-sensitivity C-reactive protein and myeloperoxidase. And these are all tests that we do to understand where you are in that path of inflammation and disease in the artery. So those were part of the initial tests that we did with you.
Okay. You know, when I came in, you kind of told me that there were a series of tests that I was going to have to take. You know, I haven't taken any kind of heart test at all in my life. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was a little bit nervous about what types of tests there would be. And the first test was pretty easy. And what were the other tests you had me take?
So the first test, as you mentioned, is mainly blood. So that's, you know, other than the blood test and drawing blood, it's a fairly simple procedure. The other two tests that we really focus on are also non-invasive tests, and they're fairly simple to accomplish because they don't require a lot of technical skill to be done. The first is what we call a carotid intima media thickening ultrasound. And we abbreviate that CIMT. And that's really just an ultrasound looking at the carotid arteries, which are really nice arteries to look at because they're right on the surface in our neck.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with that ultrasound, what we can do is measure flow and the thickness of the artery wall. And that lets us understand if there's presence of, again, that disease that we want to be mindful of, which is called atherosclerosis. So a very easy test, 15 minutes, and again, non-invasive and no radiation. The second test is a simple CAT scan. Now, this one has some radiation, and so we want to be mindful of that, but it's a fast CAT scan that's looking at the arteries around our heart, and that's called a coronary calcium score. And again, it's another 15 minutes test, and that's looking to see, do you have deposits of calcium in your arteries, which really tell us, hey, that's already disease that has occurred in the artery wall, and we want to understand in what range of level that is. Because then we want to decide, is it mild? Is it moderate? Is it severe? And then there's action and courses of actions that we want to take pending those results.
I like it. So just my experience, guys, when I got to the hospital, I did the first test at Dr. Jorge's office. So that first blood work test was on any office. And then for the second two, I went to the hospital. It was pretty easy. Got to the hospital. The appointment was already made for me. So I got there. The ultrasound was super simple. I laid on a table and the lady came out with the machine and did the ultrasound on my neck. Super simple. She wiped my neck off and that was it. So I went over to the next to the CAT scan machine. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had a really interesting situation. It wasn't bad. It wasn't scary, anything like that. But as I was going into the machine, a lady came up to me, one of the nurses or techs or whatnot, and she tapped me on the shoulder. And she said, hey, we don't mean to be rude, but we're going to have to rush you out of here as soon as you get done because somebody just had a stroke. And we need to take a look at their heart. So I was curious, Dr. Jorge, what did that mean? So why did they want to get that person in there as fast as possible to take a look at their heart?
Yeah, so a couple of reasons. Number one, to make sure that there wasn't any acute potential issue going on in the heart itself or any damage to the heart. The second piece, and most likely I would say this should be the first reason, is if they were having a stroke, the first thing they want to do is a brain CAT scan. Mm. So I imagine what they were actually really looking for wasn't so much the heart, but first a brain imaging to make sure there was no bleed around the brain. That the CAT scan is the easiest, simplest way to identify that there's been some bleeding around the brain. And then from there, the decision is made to what we call triage that patient to, hey, they need intervention, you know, this way, or we need a further test like an MRI of the brain to look at it further. So that's most likely what was occurring.
I like it. And I mean, that was really a stark contrast. You know, I'm a healthy guy, thankful for being healthy. I go through my CAT scan, no issues. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, somebody who just had a stroke. So it's almost like I was getting to see my dad's scenario play out in real life.
It's very sobering, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Having, you know, I've had a grandfather who also had a stroke, so I am very familiar with that. And you experiencing that probably also was a little bit, unsettling, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was one of those things that made me thankful that I was able to be able to have the services you provide. Because now I know that each year I can get checked to see my risk for a stroke or a heart attack. Now, let me ask you that question before I even say that. Are those tests that I would need every year, every 2 years? How often would I need those? I mean, I'm sure there's other tests, but those three tests that you had me do, how often would I need to take those?
Yeah, the range we usually say for the blood test, we usually do that anywhere between 6 months to every year. The carotid ultrasound test, if it does show a lot of, let's say, issues, we tend to look to repeat it every year and a half or so. The beauty of that test is, you know, we could repeat it as often as we want because it's not that expensive of a procedure. And I use that word carefully. Expensive can mean different things for different people. But in general, the test is a cash test, $99. It's very simple to do. And most insurances actually do not cover that test. And that's why typically we send our patients over there for cash-based price for this test. And so the CAT scan usually wouldn't do it more than every year and a half or so. calcium depositing is maybe a slower process. And so what we try to do is maybe stagger those over time. So maybe one year we do one and then the next year we do the other so that we're not overly burdening the person as well. There are other more advanced tests down the road if we have other issues that we can do for the heart, but we tend to reserve that only in the cases that we really need to do that.
No, I like it. And one of the biggest things that I was surprised about, and I spent 21 years in the military, using government healthcare and TRICARE, things of that nature. So as a civilian now, as a business owner, being able to go out and do private practice, a la carte service, I was really surprised by the cost of those tests. And I'm sure they may vary in other places, but like you said, they were less than $100 or around $100 for each of them. The last two, the ultrasound and the CAT scan, I think each of them were around $100. And in my mind, hearing all the benefits that you told me about from getting those tests done, I couldn't think of a better way to spend $200.
No, I agree. 100%. Yeah. It's an interesting dilemma, I think, in the healthcare world that we have, that sometimes we get distracted by a lot of the shiny newer things that we have, but some of these older tests that have been around for quite a while that are considered, more simple screening tests are maybe not utilized as much. I think most hospital systems and most diagnostic centers are able to do these tests very easily. So, for folks that are not in Charlotte, it's as easy as just asking their provider, hey, have you heard of these tests? Is it something that we can look to do? And the other important fact of these tests is that there's a lot of data and evidence behind these tests. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, hey, we're picking these things out of the air. No, there are guidelines that have been written by governing bodies to say, hey, this test is looking specifically for this, and here's the data to support that. And this other test, the CAT scan, here's the data, here's the database that actually supports doing this and what it actually correlates to. So, when we talk about evidence-based medicine, there's a lot of evidence to support these. And it's just a matter of really, being proactive to ask the right questions and get the right things done to really identify any issues earlier.
Being a personal trainer and a health coach, one of the biggest things that I'm kind of focused on is trying to get people to see how beneficial it is to get ahead of a health issue. You don't want to wait until a doctor tells you you need something. You don't want to wait until the doctor says your BMI is too high or you're potentially at risk for XYZ thing. Get ahead of it. And I think these tests and screens are things that will help people get ahead of potential health risk. And the more knowledge you have, the better. And that's why I came to you. So even our first visit, you already had a plan mapped out for me. So for somebody who does have, let's say, government health care or their employer's health care, people may be a little nervous to ask their doctor about certain things, because that's what I want you guys to do. This is not giving you medical advice. This is just information about something. Go seek out the information from your doctor based on what you hear today. So Dr. Jorge, how would they approach that with their doctors?
So I think both government, if we're talking TRICARE, VA care, which has incredible services available for veterans, I think it's just a question of really being oriented and asking. And then for those that have commercial insurance or have even, let's say, Medicaid or Medicare, there are still many ways of getting these tests done and looking to potentially, ask both your provider, physician, PA, nurse practitioner and say, I heard about these tests. I really want to get an idea of where I am on cardiovascular risk. Is that something that we can start exploring? I think the reality is we have to be more proactive in our care and the questions we ask our providers. Trust me, your healthcare providers, physician, PA, nurse practitioner, nurses, et cetera, they all want to help. Really, we're driven to help people. And I think part of the challenge for providers is that we're often faced with, limited time, et cetera. And that's, for me personally, one of the reasons that we created a private independent practice outside of insurance, because it does free up our time to do these things and spend more time with our patients and our clients. That said, a lot of providers who are in the traditional networks of hospital-based systems are there to help. And I think if you ask them about how do I get ahead of these things, I think most of them will be very comfortable in saying, okay, let me look at that for you. let's find out how we can order it and let's get pricing. Sometimes insurance companies will pay for it. We tend to just do it simply cash-based because we've gotten the pricing with one of our hospital systems here is very reasonable, we found, and most of the patients that we've sent have felt very comfortable with that price point. I understand that that price point may be restrictive for some people, but again, as you mentioned earlier, it's a question of how do I invest in my long-term health?
Right.
And, you know, saving up, let's say, for a test that will cost you $100 may pay dividends that you will have and recoup 5, 10, 20 years from now,
right,
if we're preventing a major heart attack or a stroke. So I look at it as a very reasonable investment for someone to do.
I love it. So Dr. Jorge, I normally keep most of my talks short because I want people to keep their focus on it the whole time. So as we come to a close, can you tell people that are in the Charlotte area that may be interested in your services how they can find you?
Sure. So our practice is called Companion Health. Website is companionhealthnc.com. You can also just Google my name, Dr. Carlos Jorge. And we do see new clients. We have a physician associate, Anya Wallace, who's with me. She sees a lot of women who are entering into perimenopause, menopause, but also does a lot of younger adults. And I do a lot of prevention, longevity medicine, anti-aging medicine as well, and how do we maintain people optimal. So would love to have an opportunity to help others.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we share your contacts when we post the video. And we look forward to your associate coming on and talk about menopause. I'm super excited about that. But hey, guys, the biggest thing, the takeaway from this is my doctor, not yours. So make sure you reach out to your doctor, your physician, and you talk to them about these tests. And if you're really concerned about your risk for heart disease, for stroke, for a heart attack, stay on it because it's your heart. It's not anybody else's. So if you're not getting the answers that you think you should get or somebody's not hearing you, try harder because, you know, Dr. Jorge had an experience, his grandfather, my father. A lot of people can name at least one person they know that's had a heart attack or a stroke. So if you're worried about it, you're concerned about it, don't stop until you get the answers because for me, once I got those results back, it changed my life because it let me know that even though it runs in my family, I've done the things I need to do through health and fitness. That's what I'm all about, to help me stay healthy for a long time and try to ward off and fend away those markers and those things that would put me in a bad spot to be at risk for heart disease, a heart attack or a stroke. So, hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this video wherever you see it. And we'll talk to you soon.